Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life Podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So I have a question for you. What do you do when you're stressed? In fact, text me. Text me and tell me. What do you do when you're stressed? 877-933-2484. I'll tell you what I do. I worship. I put on my playlist, I turn it up, and I worship. How about when you need perspective? Me? You guessed it. I worship. God has given us such amazing gift in music, and He's provided such humble, amazing singer-songwriters that really point us upward and lead us right into the throne room of God. That's what we're talking about today. I'm super excited to introduce you to my friend. He was on the show, I feel like, a number of years ago. It's been a while. And with his guitar and everything. Singer-songwriter, worship leader Ryan Williams joins me today to talk about the power of worship, the times we're in, what God is saying to the church, and we're also going to hear some of River Valley's most powerful songs. We'll get him on in just a moment, but a quick announcement. If you've not yet downloaded our free Faith Radio app, what are you waiting for? It's free, and that way, if you travel, you can take us with you. You can live stream our shows from anywhere. We do our giveaways mostly during the live shows. We do some podcast giveaways, but we'd sure love for you to download it, and that way, you can share it with your friends as well. All right, now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Ryan Williams is the lead pastor of River Valley Church, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, pastoring people. Building teams and writing songs are his passions. River Valley's released 7 critically acclaimed worship albums. Wow. Including their most recent deluxe album, Faith in Our Time. The songs of this local church are being sung around the world and are resourcing the body of Christ in a fresh way. And I just got to pause there and tell you, I cannot tell you the number of times I've traveled around the country to speak at an event and I walk into the sanctuary just to prepare my heart. And I hear a River Valley song. I just can't even tell you how many times that's happened. Well, Ryan lives in Minneapolis with his beautiful wife, Allie, and their 4 amazing kids. Listen to these names: Nora, Cash, Rock, Margo. Those are some cool kids, man. Ryan, welcome. Good to see you.
Susie, it's awesome to be back. I have to affirm you right at the top. You are a gift. This show is a gift to many, as you would know, but to my family, my wife.
Wow.
Personally, so it's the highlight of my day.
Wow.
To be here with you.
Thanks
for having me.
Well, we feel the same way. My hubby he looks at you as just one of his guys, you know. He just had lunch one time and he's like, I love this guy. He wants to just pray for you and invest in you. And I just thought, so what a gift. So what a gift to be in the body of Christ together, you know, and to be serving.
I get the opportunity to get around a little bit, around the country, around the world. And you talk about the body of Christ and how special it is. In these days, in this time, you can see that even more so. Mm-hmm. I feel like God he's changing things.
Yep.
I keep saying this to friends and family members. He's like, it seems like he's reshuffling the deck.
Yep.
Taking people out of assignments that they've been in for years and years and years, putting them in different spots, moving their families, and all that can kind of feel like, oh, you know, there's a upheaval happening, but I think it's really God.
It's strategic.
Getting us ready for the next thing. Mm-hmm. And, these are exciting days.
Yeah. You know, I've said that a bunch of times on this show and people have asked me, what do you mean by that? But just exactly what you said. But I'm kind of going out of order because I'm going to ask you what God's been impressing upon your heart. But what you just said made me think, I think we get into cruise control so easily in autopilot and we kind of want it that way because we want to, not that we're phoning it in all the time, but I think we don't like to have to think too much about it, but it's dependence. Kev always says, my hubby says, dependence is our superpower. So I'm wondering if some of the reasons he's moving people out of their known zone is to kind of awaken us to a fresh level of dependence so we can steward what's coming, you know?
Oh, well, that just blessed me. Nothing I need to say about that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's go back to you now. What is God just speaking to you in your just private personal life? What's He been impressing upon your heart?
Yeah, this question is timely. Just recently, within the last year, my family and I, we've gone on the journey of creating a family mission statement.
Cool.
And a family verse. Mm. And so that's the verse I'm going to share today, which is really pinpointing just a lot of what God's speaking to me. It's Psalm 73:28, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Hmm. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of your works. If you think about that for a second, it's one of the foundational principles of Christianity that God is with us.
Yeah.
He's close to us. And that supernatural proximity that we have with the God of everything, it's the type of thing that if we really grab hold of it, it'll change our lives. Indeed. Every single day, every single moment, every single minute. And so to know and to remember and to recall that the nearness of the Lord is my good, that fuels me.
Yeah.
And it's been a fuel for our family and pushing us into some of the new things that he has for us, and knowing that God is for us, and especially God is with us.
Mm. Man, and if you can pass that to your children at a young age.
Yeah, that's what we're trying.
Game changer,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I would love to know a little bit of your faith backstory. You know, I think you were raised by some pretty strong, phenomenal parents. But when did your faith really become your own? Like, really, like, was there a trajectory shift where suddenly you owned your faith and you really had a sense of God's nearness for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty clear in my mind. And without jumping on all of the commentary that we've had lately about revivals, mm-hmm. and Asbury and different things, different moves of God. There was a moves of God happening back in the, it would have been the late 90s, mm-hmm. when I was probably 12, 13. Moves of God happening in Florida and Toronto and other parts of the world. And our church, a small Assemblies of God church, grabbed onto one of those movements, but in a real earnest, authentic way. And God's presence, his word, the community, the body of Christ, that all became real and tangible to me. And I was about 12 years old, and it just, being raised in a Christian home, having that obligation set by my parents to be in church all the time, it was really good, mm-hmm. and meant a lot to me as a young kid. But those years, being 12, 13, and having a tangible experience of God's presence and his goodness, and seeing how that affected my life and the decisions I would make and my mindset, that's what kind of put me on the trajectory where I find myself now.
Wow, praise God that he grabbed hold of you at such a young age. When did you know that part of your God-given call was involved music?
You know, it's the story that I like to tell, and there's a principle in there about leaders and pastors and the power that's in our words. When we speak something into someone's life, it creates a new reality. And so I was 12 years old, and my wonderful youth pastor at the time, he was gathering a few teenagers together. He was talking about worship and worship teams. And some of these older kids were involved in that stuff. They played instruments, they sang, and he was giving some instruction. And I was kind of off as a seventh grader, I don't know, doing something in the auditorium. And he said, Ryan, you need to come over here. Need to hear some of these things, because you're going to be a worship leader someday. And just out of the blue, like, I had never connected those dots for myself.
Wow.
I knew that I liked to sing. I mm-hmm. knew that I loved worship. I knew mm-hmm. I liked singing in church. But I never had that reality or had that vision for mm-hmm. myself. And here is a trusted man, a pastor, a leader in my life who spoke that out. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, it was like lightning. Mm. I grabbed onto that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, Kev, that has a similar story just in leadership, where he was part of a youth group, and it was probably one of their Bible studies had about 40 students in it. And one of the volunteer parent leaders said the same thing. Kev, come over here, lead this group, because you're going to be a leader someday. And he's like, wait, what? And he had a bent, I think, towards just seeing, needs and then kind of crafting solutions, but he never saw himself as a leader. But as soon as someone said that to him and called it out of him, like you said, it created a new reality. I mean, it was God's reality, but it awakened him to it. So we need to be hope dispensers mm-hmm. like that. Man, may God give us that kind of wisdom to call it out in the young and the old, because, I mean, how many believers you think that are in their latter years that never had that and still have something that's in the womb of their spirit.
It's dormant.
Yeah.
It could be woken up.
Wow. We're going to hear some of your songs in just a little bit, but I just got to ask you, as a singer-songwriter, is there one that's your signature song that this reflects my heart, my story, or my passion?
Yeah, that'd be really tough. You know, we always hear the...
Which child do you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you've heard that a million times. So it's probably seasonal, or it might depend on, season of life. There's a song that we just released within the last year called Thank You, Lord, which just reminds us to take a stance, a hard stance of gratitude as we walk into our everyday lives. And I would say that one's pretty special to me right now.
Wow. I wonder if we have that handy to play. We're going to hear a little bit of that before we go to break. Thank you, Lord. Which album is this one on?
This is off our latest, Faith in Our Time.
Okay, Faith in Our Times, River Valley Worship. Thank you, Lord. Let's listen.
I am one of many countless testimonies, saved by grace through faith, not on my own. All along this journey, Lord, you went before me. You were waiting there for me on mercy's road. So with thankfulness, I bring this simple song. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Every time I turn around,
it's a great day when you get to have Ryan Williams in studio. He's a singer, songwriter, lead worship pastor for River Valley, a multi-campus church in the Twin Cities. That's Thank You, Lord. We're going to hear more songs from some of the other albums and more of Ryan's thoughts on what's happening in our times and how do we navigate such a time as this. More with Ryan in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com.
Humbly we come and boldly we seek. All that we ask, we lay at your feet.
Hope you're having a fantastic day. We're talking today about the power of worship. Singer-songwriter, worship leader Ryan Williams joins us today, and he's the lead worship pastor for River Valley. And just search for River Valley Worship, and you'll find some of their amazing songs that are sung all over the world. And I often use their songs on my bumpers. One of them is Hope Has a Name, and his name is Jesus. We might be playing that one in a little bit, but such a great conversation. And I would love to have you just talk about what worship means to you. And I think about, for me, just as a layperson who doesn't have the gifts that you do, but it's such a place and a space for me of sacredness, of meeting with God, that God would create worship as a gift to us to really reset us, but an honor back to Him is just, I can't really put words to it. But as someone who is called to lead the throngs of people into the presence, what does it mean to you? And what is it for those of us who can't put words to it?
Yeah, there's many facets, isn't there?
Yeah.
And the simple definition, and then I'll expound a little bit, is we get a glimpse of who the Lord is, a revelation of who He is, and then we respond appropriately. And I think about the season that I'm in and our community and our church, and I think about Psalm 23, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Goodness and mercy, for me, these have been like my two go-to weapons. Mm-hmm. You know, when I wake up in the morning, when I have to face what I have to face, when trouble, chaos, discontent, you name it, comes my way, I got goodness and mercy on my side. And the best way to remind me of those weapons is worship.
Come on. Amen. Wow. Well, you were interviewed, I don't know how recent it was, I think it probably was a couple years ago, by CBN, and I think that something in the title was Building Altars, Not Stages. Mm-hmm. And that caught my eye, just because it's just something I've had a hard time with over the last 20 years. I've loved the freedom that we've had as believers, but I've had a hard time with celebrity Christianity. It's just, and in fact, probably as an author person, I think that there's times maybe I've even self-sabotaged, erring on the side of smallness, just because it terrifies me. I don't know. I think that how Jesus served, how he lived, and it's just so like us to turn it into a brand and a marketing machine, and it all is nauseating to me. Yet I know God has called some people to massive platforms, and we'll all have to give an account as to how we steward them. All of that said, the idea of altars, not stages, brings me to my knees. So I would love for you to unpack that thought a bit more.
It was a couple of years ago, and we were releasing an album, and little did we know it was going to be called Altars. Mm. And so you're searching for a theme, you're searching for a focus. And long story short, a friend of our church, who is also a missionary, came and spoke on a weekend, and he's poetic. He carries himself like an apostle. Mm. He's putting himself in very dangerous places for the gospel. Mm. I'll just say that. Mm. And so when he speaks, when he's around, you know he's there. You feel his presence in the best way. And he came and went for the weekend. I didn't get to connect with him too much. A week later, a handwritten letter shows up in my mailbox, which these days is a gift.
Yeah, and a rarity.
Handwritten? This is...
Yeah.
I'm going to frame this.
This is the olden days.
Before I even read what it said. And it was a letter to me, and it was almost a prophetic encouragement to me personally and to our church. And it just read like poetry. He's an amazing writer, just so earnest. And there was a moment kind of on the last page where he said, Ryan, you just have to remember that when you step up into a room or an auditorium to lead worship, you're not stepping on a stage, but you're stepping on an altar. Mm. And it froze me, mm-hmm. and it shocked me, mm-hmm. and it stirred me up in the best way. And it became a theme for our worship department. Later became the theme for that album.
Wow, God provides in the most
He did.
Beautiful
he knew
way.
What we needed. Yeah. And it just provided such clarity mm-hmm. for what we were trying to dig for as mm-hmm. far as the songs we were writing mm-hmm. and just our approach, our mindset when it came to worship leading. You know, think about an altar. An altar is a place for sacrifice. A stage is a place for...
Promotion.
Promotion, you mm-hmm. know. On a stage, you are a lot of times trying to gain glory mm-hmm. or attention. On an altar, you are giving that away, choosing to be completed in a different way, completed by Christ. Mm. And so it has stuck with us. It's become a marking moment. The songs from that project carry that that humility. Part of like the second half of that theme was altars over stages, shadows over spotlights. One of the lyrics in one of the songs says, "Who says the shadows belong to the darkness?" We kind of sometimes view shadows as like the bad things happen in the dark, but no,
great thought.
You know, in the secret place.
Yeah.
God does refining. God does new things. God speaks, and so
that is a
it was
profound
a gift.
Thought.
It was a gift.
Yeah,
it
because
was.
In Him there's no darkness at all, mm-hmm. but He is with us in the shadow places. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I've had young women come up and say, "I want to do what you do," and you see the stars in their eyes, and they're like, "What's one piece of advice you'd give me?" And I always say, "I don't know that you'll like it so much, but you're going to be given 1,000 opportunities to die, and I want you to take every one." You know, because, you know, death to self is life in Christ, you know. There's just something that Paul says we die every day. I just think there's something so powerful about, because, you know, when you think about the motivations to build the Tower of Babel, there were really two things that you still see today, self-ambition and self-preservation. It was to make a name for ourselves and to protect our interests. And when you you have people who see people on the stage like yourself and they think, "That will be mine someday." They're thinking of a stage and not an altar. They don't know what it took for you to get there. The cost, the death, the sacrifice, the character refinement. And, you know, even it wasn't it, you know, the Sons of Thunders, their mom asked for this special place. And Jesus himself said, "You don't know what you're asking for." And there are some that that look at what you're doing and you're inspiring their faith and it's awakening a true call in them. And there's others who want the platform without the process. So I think it's super important that we're honest about what it takes to step into those places, you know?
You nailed that. I don't know if I have much more to say because you explained it so eloquently, but I just want to affirm you. Like, I do feel that tension and that struggle of the industrialization mm-hmm. of worship music and platform, and God help us to keep the call and the stewardship of that call, keeping it pure.
Indeed.
Keeping it honest, mm-hmm. keeping it earnest. We need that in these days. I mm-hmm. think about, again, all the things I'm involved in. I take it down just to the local church I'm a part of, and I think about all the young people with gifts and talents and callings. And man, I am praying, Lord, that they would see the purity of what we do and not any of the other stuff.
And the humility. I mean, you know, they need your mentorship, you know? We all need the Pauls and the Barnabases mm-hmm. and the Timothys, you know, wherever you are in that spectrum, that you need people to be pouring into and people to be teaching you in every season of life. And in a different idea with the altar, this health issue that I've battled for so many years relapsed 7 years ago so bad. And it was new neurological symptoms mixed with old ones. And they were terrifying. Mm-hmm. And one of my key intercessors, she said, "You're squirming in a way I've not seen you." Like, mm-hmm. I was terrified because it looked like it could have been something that would debilitate me for the rest of my life. I mean, you know, neurological diagnoses are bad. You know, some of these diseases are really not good. It's people who would rather die than have them. And she was like, "I'm watching you squirm in fear in a way I've not seen before." I'm like, she was like, "What are you afraid of?" And I told her what I was afraid of. And she said, "Susie, the devil cannot attack a corpse. You got to die. You got to die to this fear."
Amazing.
And I was like, I was trying to preserve my life. You know, I was like, please don't let this be it, you know? And and the Lord gave me a picture of crawling up on that altar. And I was like a rag doll. I was so battered from the illness, but I was even more exhausted from my fear. And I said, "God, this is so hard. I feel fragile and I feel vulnerable." And he instantly gave me this picture of Aslan, the lion, you know?
Yes.
I'm like this little ball of dirt on the altar because I was so battered. And he put one paw on one side and one paw on the other and just roared and served the enemy notice. He said, "Susie, you feel fragile and vulnerable, but you're only one of those things." He says, "You are fragile, but you're not vulnerable. And make no mistake about it." And it put a new level of fear of God in me. And I think the places where we have fears and then self-preservation rises up, that's a place for the altar. I mean, it is a place to trust God. And, you know, this walk of faith is not an easy one. But
I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and they were talking about God asked them to step out in faith, and it was hard. It was a hard decision. They did it. And that was the final word. "I'm going to do this." And I say, "Yes." And then in the times afterwards, there's the second word that came, the doubt. Mm-hmm. "You didn't do the right thing. You probably could have done, you could have waited a little bit longer maybe because X, Y, Z." And you made a raw statement about trust. And this elder in the church was reaffirming to him, "You knew it was the right thing. Stop thinking.
Put it to rest.
Put it to rest, that second word, and move on."
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Talking to Ryan Williams, great conversation and more music up ahead. We'll be back in a minute.
Holy surrender, Lord, do what you will in me. Just make me your vessel. This life as an offering. 'Cause you can have it all, God. You can have it all. You can have it all, God. You can have it all.
Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a really raw and deep conversation with singer-songwriter, worship leader Ryan Williams. You may know him from River Valley Worship's music, and we're going to play some songs and continue to talk just about the times we're in, the power of worship to bring perspective and to stir our faith. I've heard so many stories of people who've gone into worship distressed, worried, confused, and they worship, and God just brings clarity to their situation. God deserves our worship. We worship first and foremost because He is worthy of it, deserves it. But in His presence, the fullness of joy just is found. It's just true. And as Ryan said at the beginning of the show, His nearness is our good. It is. How wonderful is that? So let's look at some of these songs, listen to some of these songs. One of them is titled Rest With Me. Any backstory on that song or anything you want to say?
Rest with Me was written a part of a project, a devotional project for
cool.
people to listen to while they read their Bible. And the synopsis of the song is, God has done so many miraculous things over the course of time, miracles, victories. But the greatest miracle sometimes is God is reaching out to us and saying, just rest.
Wow.
Rest in me.
Wow.
And that's the gist of
Fantastic.
That song.
Fantastic. I don't think I've seen that album. What's the title of that one?
So it's called The Attention EP.
Wow.
A devotional project.
Oh, yeah. Golly. I can't wait to see that. All right, let's listen. Rest with me.
I've seen the strength of giants falter at your feet. The power of their reign laid low. I've seen the stretch of darkness wither at your name. The power of its shame exposed. All these things you've done, the wonder and the awe, the miracle right now is that you say, come rest with me, come rest with me, just be my child, come rest with me. It sees the weight I carry, carries all my fears, the frailty of my strength he holds. In the wake of fire and thunder, your roar becomes a hum. The peace of heaven's whisper fills my soul.
Like a healing balm. It's so beautiful. I'm going to play that for my devotional time tomorrow. What's it like to sit here and listen to your own music?
Well, over the years, it's kind of turned into this, you know, like once a song is out and released into the world, it doesn't really become, it's not really mine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Almost feels like a, not an out of body experience, mm-hmm. but you know, hearing yourself sing, it's just like that's someone else's voice.
Sure. Because it's an
point.
Offering.
Yeah.
Kind
of let it go.
So great.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Wow, I love that so much. Well, I would love to know how these past years that we've all walked through have impacted your faith and your perspective on life.
Well, I think about the choice that we all have, the way that we've had to soldier through life these last few years. Each of us have the opportunity to choose which burden are we going to carry.
Mm, good.
You know, the first burden, the first option is the burden of outcome. How is this all going to turn out, whether that be with our jobs, our families, the world at large? God, I'm worried. I'm afraid. How is this going to end up? You know, and carrying the burden of outcome would be like me trying to carry this desk by myself out of this studio into my car and home. That's just not what we were not meant to carry that. Rather, I think the second choice is much better. It's what we're called to do, the burden of obedience.
Love it.
You know, the burden of obedience is like this little cap right here. There's an ease to it because that's what we were meant to carry. And no other time like the last few years has made me buckle down, get real with the Lord and say, Lord, okay, these are X, Y, Z. These are things I'm not meant to carry. Thus, I will not. I will try my best, wake up every day, and carry the one burden that I'm supposed to carry, which is obedience.
That's so good. My friend Lynn that I mentioned about who told me to die, I love her. Anyway, she said, God is responsible for the outcome of your obedience.
Yeah, there
you go. So that just fits in with what you're saying. That because, again, that's where unnecessary exhaustion comes from, when we're trying to control narratives, trying to preempt outcomes, or we're getting double-minded about things God has already said. So those are some good things to think about, friend. I hope you're really considering that. Okay, let's talk about your song, Sanctuary. What about that one?
Sanctuary was a team effort with a great team at River Valley of songwriters, and it came out of a writing retreat, classic stereotype in the middle of nowhere, northern Minnesota, in a cabin. It was about 50 below.
Wow.
And a song started to bubble up out of a writing session, and it quickly turned from a polished writing session to just worship unto the Lord. And the chorus is, make me your sanctuary, my Father. And it was a real organic, kind of cyclical, easy to sing type song that was kind of felt like a spontaneous worship moment that turned into a song that's helped a lot of people around the world.
So when you're sitting around in a cabin, you guys have notebooks, you got your Bibles, you got your guitars, and you're just sort of, when you throwing things back and forth, what about this, what about that? You're playing chord progressions and just kind of, is that what that looks like?
So there's a lot of trust in the front end there for people to be able to say, okay, I'm going to go do this with these people. And I'm not afraid about my feelings getting hurt or, you know, and it is that. Once the trust is established, it is kind of this ecosystem of people playing and singing things out. And the trust involved helps say, hey, that's really good. Or I mean, maybe we shouldn't do that. Or that idea is better. Or
And then out of that, sometimes worship breaks out.
Yeah, it does.
And you get this kind of...
extra boost, really, what, you know... Not the magic, but really the Spirit of God breathing on something, you know.
So cool. Okay, let's listen to Sanctuary.
Living in mystery, who am I that you are mindful of me? How you love me? God of all the universe, holds the world and holds my heart in one. Father, in my heart be found, make it holy ground, make me your sanctuary, sanctuary, my Father, make me your sanctuary, sanctuary, my Father, purify the depths of me, true as gold and pure as precious silver, nothing better. Lord, I long to dwell with thee forever. Precious Savior, in my heart be found. Make it holy ground. Make me your sanctuary, sanctuary, my Father. Father, make me your sanctuary.
Sing a song like that and mean it with your whole heart. That's the stuff of revivals and of miracles. That's Ryan Williams with River Valley Worship. More with him when we return.
My Father.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Still all you want is this empty space. So here's my heart, would you take this praise? Jesus, Jesus, how I need you to fill me. Jesus, my Jesus, how I need you.
Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, having a really beautiful, sacred time in God's presence, talking to singer-songwriter, worship leader Ryan Williams, and you may know him from River Valley Worship. We're playing some songs off of their album, hearing the stories behind the song, talking about the power of worship, the times we're in, and how do we navigate, and how do we go forward, really giving glory to God, shining brightly in a dark world, keeping hearts of joyful expectancy. Well, many are focusing on negative outcomes, so, you know, that is our call, to enjoy Jesus, walk intimately with him, and tell people about the hope within us. You know, Ryan, I'm just wondering, if you were to encounter an unbeliever who was really seeking God, who really had questions, so they don't know Jesus yet, they approached you, they sincerely wanted to understand the times. Help me understand the times. What's happening now from a believer's perspective? What would you say?
Well, from creation till now, we are right in the middle of the story of God and that great arc and that those great ups and downs of creation and the fall and then redemption. And we all know the end of the story, how it ends. And so to an unbeliever, I would say to them, you are an important part of God's story. And ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve had that trouble that they had, this point of God's story is he's trying to get his creation back to him in right standing with him. And he's doing that because of the immense, deep, supernatural love that he has for us. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a surprise to say we know a lot of people out there with a little bit of hope, a lot of brokenness, never been loved before. And so I would remind them or reveal to them how much God loves them and how they can see that in the story of God.
Beautiful. Wow, that's so good. All right, let's talk about hope. Hope has a name. That song, you wrote that for a purpose. That really went out as an anthem for a lot of people. Did that come out before all that happened in the streets happened?
It did, yeah.
Wow. I mean, it was really a prophetic song. And friends, if you get a chance to hop on YouTube and look up Hope Has a Name, you want to see the music video that goes with it. Maybe first say a word about that music video, because that really, again, to me, it was like a lightning strike into a world, really, to show us this is what's going on, and yet hope has a name.
Yeah, we wrote that song a few years back, friends of mine, and the genesis of the song idea was we're singing songs about hope all the time, hinting at it almost, talking about its essence, but we know that the true identity is Jesus, and we wanted to kind of just be intentionally on the nose with the topic. And the song has traveled quite a far distance from this church in Minnesota to all these places around the world. And
what have you heard?
Well, we've heard it in different languages.
Wow.
We've seen it be featured in hundreds and hundreds of churches in their Easter celebrations. And we never wrote it with that intent. But songs are like planes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Some planes are designed to take you from Minneapolis to Duluth, and other planes are designed to take you from Minneapolis to Tokyo, and Hope Has a Name just had a certain design on it.
Come on. Amen. Let's listen. You're going to love this one.
There is a song, I know it well, a melody.
my confidence in you alone. And hope has a name, his name is Jesus. My Savior's cross has set this sinner free. Hope has a name, his name is Jesus. Oh Christ be praised, I have victory. There is a light, salvation's flame. Christ undefeated, trembled the grave.
Come on!
See now the cross be lifted high. The light has come, the light has won. Behold the Christ.
Sing it!
Hope has it.
That's just a portion of that song. Is that not fantastic? And I actually got my music videos mixed up because that one has a music video and it's excellent. But there's another one, This World Needs Jesus. That's the one that you had it filmed a video, I think, downtown, didn't you? And you had some kind of city scenes. Tell us a little bit about just shooting that video and The World Needs Jesus.
Well, River Valley Church, we often say that we're a local church with a global heart.
Yeah, that's true. You guys live that out.
Yeah, and sending, it's a part of our bullseye, we call it, to send out 500 missionaries from our local body across the world. And we're sending out, we call them global project teams, global teams all over the world every month. Mm. And so that's entrenched, intertwined in what we do. And it was years ago where one of our young worship leaders and songwriters, this is pre-2020, so we didn't even know that that was coming at this point, but was witnessing a shooting on television. And his response as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old was, "This world needs Jesus." And it was like a real prayer. Mm. And I think he was literally with his family, and I think they prayed. And then he ended up doing a short stint of missionary work where he was jumping around different parts of the globe. And he started writing parts of this song in Istanbul, Turkey, in Kenya, in Asia. And he had these ideas circling around about this song, World Needs Jesus. He brought it back to the States. We were recording an album. So myself and him and another leader, we got together and we finished this song. And we knew it was special because of the heart of our church and because of how he kind of had taken this song around. It had kind of marinated with him as he was traveling
around
different
the
parts of the globe.
It's the global heart in it, right?
And I remember we literally finished the last verse, the last, you know, something like the last word of the song, and this young brother of mine just started to weep because it's like he had carried this prayer idea for, it had taken months and we finally had finished it, and I think he just felt blessed to be able to be a part of it.
Really an unbelievable song. We'll only get to hear a portion of it, but this is the one. I mean, check out all their music videos. They're fantastic. But this one, The World Needs Jesus, shows the state of our world and then the call for Jesus. Let's listen to a portion.
When our homes are hit by heartbreak, let your presence meet us there. When the pain seems overwhelming, we hold on to you. When the streets are torn by chaos, we will be your hands and feet. When the
darkness brings division, may we be your light. Cause we know our world needs Jesus. We know that our world needs freedom. So give us eyes to see the hurting and the broken, and let our lives align with every word you say. When the nations hate.
That song builds. It will just, you'll feel it, man. I pray that you're able to listen to the whole thing. The world needs Jesus. Ryan Williams, my guest today. We've just got a couple minutes left, maybe a minute left, actually. But I got to ask you, if you were to gather all the Christians of North America together and you had the mic, what charge would you give us? What would you want to say to us? Big question, I know.
Specifically, you said North America. And I think about my job as a pastor and a leader and a worship leader. I would want them to know the difference between the wave pool and the ocean. The wave pool is perfectly manufactured waves. You know, every wave is perfect. You know exactly where to get in, exactly when to stand up, exactly where the wave peaks, exactly where to get off and swim back. Everything is perfect. But you compare that to the ocean. You know, think about Southern California. There are days when you hear a swell that's predicted in a certain place. You go out there, you're waiting for it, it never comes. Sometimes you swim out for hours, nothing happens. Sometimes you're extremely disappointed, but there are times where the waves come in so powerful that it takes your breath away. Sometimes it almost feels like it's going to kill you. Sometimes it's the most amazing ride of your life. The difference between the two is that the wave pool, you'll never be disappointed. But at the same time, you'll never be amazed. What we can manufacture on our own as the American church, it'll feel good.
Look good.
It'll look good. But the Spirit of God breathing on a community or on a place or on a movement, it can take your breath away and change you forever.
It's the ocean. That is fantastic. Ryan, this has been so amazing. I really feel like I have an hour's worth more of questions for you. So you got to come back again. Let's play some more of your music and continue to talk about what the Lord is saying to you. As we wrap up, how can we pray for you?
Pray for wisdom. Pray for courage. God is going to ask me and my family in these coming years to step into some new things.
Yep.
We've been in one assignment for a long time, and it's been the ride of a lifetime. But new things are coming, and we're going to need new grace, new mercy, new strength for those things.
Wow, you heard it, friends. Do pray for Ryan and his family. We love you, Ryan. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you so much. Well, I pray you found some encouragement here today. I am profoundly encouraged. We love you. We love doing this journey with you, and we'll meet you back here next time.
And Lord, I'm desperate for your power.
Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.